You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, the best time of the year on the Dan Patrick Show.
Only the best people work on holidays.
But what is any day, really, without the Dan Patrick Show? Available daily on Peacock or on the Dan Patrick Show podcast.
The award-winning Dan Patrick Show.
So don't miss a show. Don't miss a moment. Download it today. It's free. Thanksgiving. A time to be thankful.
Isn't this supposed to be a thankful show? We're thankful for a lot of things.
For time off? For food?
How about turkey sandwiches, man?
For our health and football. And for stand-up guys like Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker. Why, you ask? Because while Dan and the Danettes are off, they have stepped up to fill the void.
And that's one of the most generous things that anybody's ever done for this show.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, two good guys.
I love you.
Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker.
What up? Good morning to you. Happy Thanksgiving. Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker, in for Dan and the Danettes. Wishing you and yours the happiest and safest and COVID-freest Thanksgiving on record. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Dan and the Danettes off. I am sure they are. I'm sure at some point, Polly's going to be tweeting from somewhere in Vermont. A cabin, rustic, and there is food aplenty. Anyway, welcome in. Rob, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Doug. How are you?
I'm good. You know, let's start with the news of the moment, which is the Ravens-Steelers game, which was supposed to be played tonight, and it was really the pièce de résistance. It's the only reason to watch NFL games other than you got money on the other two and you need something to drown out. Something to drown out the mind-numbing conversation at the dinner table.
I was going to say the family that, you know, and not that there's going to be any big family this year, but you know what I mean. I totally agree with you.
Yes, yes. Well, look, some people, because they're around their families all the time, some people are going to risk it. Some people, you know, they get tested and they get in a car and they have distanced and whatever. Like, it's a compliment. My mom lives 15 minutes from us. We're going to see her for about a half hour outside today. She's going to bring us a pie, but, you know, she's a senior citizen, so, what, like, no one dinner is worth risking her health over. That's just kind of the way we're going about it. But there are families that will have those. Some will have the virtual conversations, right? They'll be Zooming Thanksgiving dinner. Even that can be like, oh, my God.
But you know what, Doug? It's funny you say that. I grew up with 11 guys, 11 of us in New York, and we all were on a baseball team called the Black Cats. And all 11 of us have been friends for nearing 50 years. We've been friends since we were 10 years old.
Wow.
And today, all 11 of us, knock on wood, we're blessed, Doug, are still alive. 50-year friendship almost, a couple years away from it. And today, for the first time ever, we're having a Zoom Thanksgiving Day kind of a get-together just to be thankful for everything, despite, you know, where we are in the world and what's happening. So I'm looking forward to that. That's about noon Eastern.
That's interesting. I live close to where I grew up. Many of the people who I grew up around have either moved back or never moved away. And I coach, I have a youth basketball program, a traveling basketball program.
Mm-hmm.
And last night we just kind of had a fun practice. I had, like, instead of having 15 kids, I had like 7 or 8 kids. And we did all kinds of shooting competitions and dribbling competitions. And I showed him some drills that I was taught to do alone in a gym, but you can do it with a stopwatch, and it's kind of cool. Anyways, we're sitting around afterwards, and I was going through how many of my friends, like, are lifelong friends from my same travel basketball class in sixth grade. You know, Miles Simon, who's an assistant with the Lakers. He just got back from Hawaii. Like, I'll make sure I – and so maybe that's a great idea. Like, you can do one of those Zoom calls or whatever. And we're all around and hop on. So there is some good things that have come from this. All right, let's get to this Ravens Steelers game. I saw some of the Steelers tweet out Eric Ebron is their tight end. This is BS, you know. And
I know Ebron from Detroit. Yeah.
Look, I understand in the moment. And by the way, it appears if they have more positive tests, instead of playing this game, and if you missed the news yesterday, they moved the game to Sunday at 1:15. So in the early window, there's supposed to be an NBC game. My guess is with more positive tests, this thing's going to be pushed back to week 18 or something. They got to find a way to slide this thing in because, otherwise I don't – the Ravens were already depleted anyway. I don't know if they'll have enough guys, but whatever. The idea that the NFL – or first of all, the NFL, by moving it, they screw NBC because NBC would have had a huge number on Thanksgiving night, right? They also do the same to Fox and to CBS because now NBC has a better game name-wise in that opening, in that early window, that rating will, suck some of the numbers from CBS and from Fox. So the idea that the NFL, there's like people are out to get the Steelers, like, dude, you guys are undefeated. You're having a great year. You just got to roll with it a little bit here.
That's what I don't get. I mean, everybody else, everything is fluid, Doug. We don't know, right? And I've been critical of the NFL. I remember there was a game, I think the Patriots played a game where there were some positive tests and they went along with the game. And I thought, well, why are they doing that when they've been postponing other games? But they went along with that game. And in this case, I give the NFL credit. This is not the game you want to move. Thanksgiving night, all the eyeballs, everything else going on. You don't want to stop that game if you didn't have to. I think the NFL's doing it right. All these people have tested positive. You can't go through with it. I understand from the Steelers' standpoint, this would have been, they played Thursday night, then they would have gotten 3 or 4 days off, until maybe come back on Monday. So they lose out on that, which I get, but it sounds awful, tone deaf, given the state of where we are in this country and this world during the pandemic. It's over a football game, dude. Yeah, I just can't get it.
Well, I mean, like, look, I this is one of the things about social media, which you can view it as a good thing, right? There's no filter of a PR. The bad thing is that, it's the old Herm Edwards, right? Just don't press send.
Like, right.
Dude, just take a breath and start to realize. I fully understand. I was listening to Jeff Schwartz, who was co-hosting Outkick the Coverage before when driving in. I fully understand the idea of, hey, you thought you were going to have a five-day weekend, and you're going to work Thanksgiving. Like, all right, we get it all adjusted. We'll have dinner tomorrow. We'll have dinner after the game with the kids or whatever. And then we have the weekend off, and they haven't had an off week. Like, I get it. Hey, right? But, again, it's just the idea of, let's take a breath, right? Inhale, exhale, realize all the other things. Realize, that's actually what Thanksgiving's supposed to be about, where you realize, like, okay, this might suck, but we still live in America. We're on an undefeated football team. We are relatively healthy.
Yes.
We might not even play this weekend. And, oh, yeah, by the way, like, whenever we play the Ravens, they're going to be depleted. And we're going to have a week. We're going to be the only team with a week off heading into the playoffs because they've changed the bye thing with only one team having a bye. The idea of Thanksgiving is to stop, take a breath, and be thankful. And I think the Steelers missed that. But it's part of what social media provides, which is cutting out the filter and get how people really feel in that moment. And unfortunately, guys feel in that moment in kind of an immature fashion. I also think that we have this thing to where we want to think everybody's out to get us, right? It's like, it's one of the deals with the election where, like, we want to think that things are rigged and things
right.
are, and it's really not. It's really, really not. It's the scientists and doctors said, hey, man, Thanksgiving, there's going to be a second wave. It's going to be bad. Turns out there's a second wave. It's bad. We're all just trying to protect the sport so that we can get through and get to the playoffs and have a Super Bowl and maybe have people at the Super Bowl. And you're so caught up in yourself that you want to tweet about it. Like, I understand it, but I just think it's not the greatest look when you're the undefeated team and the other team is the team with all the positive tests.
And the other part, Doug, is, and I use this tone deaf from what's the reality for everybody else and what people are going through.
Right.
I get it. It's a football game. I get it. It's their livelihood. They make millions of dollars. I get all that. people are out here struggling with no jobs and family members who have passed. I mean, just do you look on Facebook? And I can't get over how many messages I've read, you know, from the people who are friends of mine, you know, on Facebook, whether I know them or not personally. But it's amazing.
Wait, how are they your friends if you know them or not?
Well, but you know, like you could ask to be
like a Facebook friend.
Facebook friend. That's
okay.
What I mean.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I see a lot of stuff, but I just can't get over how many people have been touched by it. Chris Broussard, my radio partner on The Odd Couple, lost his father-in-law, you know, this year to COVID. I mean, it's touched a lot of people, and it just seems insensitive. That's all. I get it, and they're just thinking about themselves at that time, Doug, the disappointment of that game and that moment, and then some days off. I do, but you need to pause, think about it. How is this going to look to the people who don't have jobs and who have lost loved ones?
Well, I would say, you know, the pushback, this is the Dan Patrick Show, brought to you by Mercedes-AMG Driving Performance, Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb, and for Dan the Danettes. I would say, like, if we had the legit discussion, it's one of the things that sports has provided, right? Like, if we do go into, like, in L.A. County, obviously, we're in some form of stay-at-home 10 o'clock order, and I don't really understand why you can't eat outside at a restaurant, but whatever. Let's just kind of get through it, people. But it's fascinating to me. Sports do provide an escape. Like if we're stuck at home, it's so much better when there's sports on TV. And that was going to be a fun game. That was going to be a game of two teams that don't like each other. And as much as the Steelers record wise seemed dominant over the Ravens, last time was a 4-point game in which Lamar Jackson had the ball a chance to win it.
So the other games suck. Right. And the Steelers got 4 turnovers in that game to win by 4, if you remember that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So I actually think for people who are out of work. But yes, the lack of perspective, it's not the strongest look. Do I think Eric Ebron and Chase Claypool are bad people for being ticked? Like, nah, I think that's real and that's understandable. I just think that next time they could kind of pause a little bit and have a better feel for all that's going on. What's left is your Lions. What's left is the Texans, thankfully, we'll get to that. What's left is the Washington football team against the Dallas Cowboys.
You couldn't pick two worse games for real for people to watch on Thanksgiving.
I almost think that's the genius to it.
I don't think so.
Are you going to watch?
Yeah, I'll watch. I'll put it on.
This is like Tyson Roy Jones. There's no reason to watch Mike. What people forget, Mike Tyson has, we've created this kind of mythical lore of Mike Tyson. Because when he first came into the boxing world, everybody was scared to death. I mean, he came in with just that towel, right? And no socks, black shoes. And the fight was over before it started, right? But if you remember, Mike Tyson was a bad fighter at the end of his, the reason he bit Evander Holyfield's ear was he was frustrated because he was getting his ass kicked, right? So he was bad.
I thought he was hungry.
Yeah, but Roy Jones was bad. Like, Roy Jones was, I actually played a professional basketball game against Roy Jones.
Did you in that, what was that?
USBL.
USBL,
yeah,
right.
He had 31 in a game. He took 31 shots, but he had 31.
Wow.
We can tell that story later. But these are two guys that were washed up 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and they're going to have a fight, which they're not going to score, but they're going to whatever. And people are going to buy. I guess the thing is that it's one of those in football. One, you could bet on it. Two, you got fantasy football. And three, it doesn't matter what the NFL puts on. We watch. We just do. People say, I don't watch the Pro Bowl. I don't want the Pro Bowl outrates NBA playoff games. They just watch. And so, yeah, these are not good games. But maybe that only proves the NFL's power and their point. Like, yeah, we can throw whatever on at Lions, Cowboys. You can watch. You can watch.
If there was a Golden Girls marathon on, I might be watching that instead of the Lions.
We got to get to the background of your Golden Girls marathon sort of thing. He's Rob Parker.
Have you ever watched that show?
I used to watch that show. First run, I used to watch it. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Blanche and
Dorothy.
Dorothy. Yeah.
Sophia and Rose. Yeah. All right. We'll get into that.
We can of the 80s and 90s sitcoms, that one is not in the top 10 of ones that I would watch. And it was a good show at the time. but it doesn't go up with Cheers. It doesn't go with, it's obviously ahead of Cosby now.
Yes, that is true.
Yes. All right, coming up next. Okay, so Tom Brady and Bruce Arians seem to be butting heads. Whose side do we take? You find out next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. He's Rob Parker. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Over 50 years ago, two men with a passion for motorsports and engineering began building race engines in an old abandoned mill. They saw an opportunity for every wide open road, an invitation for every curve. It was a chance to push the envelope and break all the rules. It was a chance to prove the two-ton family sedan could have the performance to compete in a 24-hour race. But the shocking the competition and building the reputation wasn't enough. Their vision to expand upon their excellence they had created. Their engineering company continued to validate their belief by putting race car engines in luxury sedans and proceeded to stun the elite in world racing by winning and winning and winning. We may never understand what drives Mercedes-AMG to break barriers along with every record in the book, but here's to allowing us to enjoy the results. Learn more at MBUSA.com/AMG. That's MBUSA.com/AMG. Mercedes-AMG, driving performance. Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes. Lights out. Sean Merriman will join us momentarily. By now, I think we've kind of, I would hope if you listen to sports radio, you've heard Bruce Arians point out several times that he was disappointed with Tom Brady's inability to throw the football down the field. And he said yesterday, hey, we went back over the tape. The offensive line played well, you know, when the quarterback plays well, we play well.
Uh-oh.
Rob Parker, who you called Tom Brady the luckiest of all time, right?
The LOAT. He's not the GOAT in my eyes, the LOAT. Doesn't mean he can't play, Doug. It's just that he's been awful lucky in big games. That's all.
Okay. And we can...
We'll dive into that.
This is one of those things to where, like, I struggle to have a legit Brady discussion with you at times. You know I love you. Okay, I love you like any crazy uncle, just because I think that take is so outlandish that it's like, okay, can you have a reasonable discussion? Like, you'd agree Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, right?
Absolutely. He's just not the GOAT.
Okay.
I mean, there's a big difference between being a great player and not being considered the GOAT. But in this case, let's stick here with Bruce Arians and what he said and done.
Okay.
Is I have no issue with this. The weakest link right now with this Bucs team is Tom Brady. The defense isn't that bad. I think they've given up the 8th or top 10 as far as points allowed. So the defense isn't that bad. They took a look at, you know, Brady got sacked one time. Yes, he was pressured. Guys get pressured. I get that. I don't think the offensive line was awful or anything like that. And in the bigger games against the better teams and the better competition, Brady has wilted. He hasn't played well. And is it he's 43 years old? Is it a new environment, a new system, and it's not what he's used to? You can't say, you know, in New England, the argument was always, Doug, well, he doesn't have any weapons. Well, he has Mike Evans. He has Antonio Brown. He has Chris Godwin. I mean, he has players. They have running backs there for him, right? They got Leonard Fournette. When he became available, Shady McCoy. What doesn't he have that they should struggle in these games against good teams? And so I don't have a problem with Bruce Arians saying the quarterback has to play better.
There's a lot to it, okay? He's not wrong that the quarterback has to play better. But have you ever heard Bill Belichick, who by all accounts would call out Tom Brady in private, call out Tom Brady publicly? Like, what is the win in doing that? And what win, is the win?
What
is the win? Tell me what the win is in calling out your superstar, six-time Super Bowl champion quarterback who didn't have an offseason, is running a system that is completely different, right? He's a deep downfield coach, and Tom Brady, for the last 10 years, since Randy Moss left, was everything was underneath and option routes. What is the win in saying the quarterback is the problem to the national and local media?
All I'm saying is this is who Bruce Arians is. He's not playing for Bill Belichick. Tom Brady decided he wanted to do something different.
What is
just talking about nothing. Tom Brady signed up for Bruce Arians.
Okay,
but this is who Bruce Arians is. This is not new. This is what I'm saying, Doug. This is not new. So Tom should have done his homework about Bruce Arians if he's going to be sensitive when he doesn't play well.
I don't know if it's sensitive, but all right, let's bring in Sean Merriman, of course. Lights out, great player, rookie of the year in the National Football League.
Covers tough guy.
Huh? Yeah, of course he's a tough guy. Sean, first of all, happy Thanksgiving. Second of all, what's your reaction to Bruce Arians openly criticizing Tom Brady?
Well, I just don't believe in that in general. And as much as I'm a Tom Brady hater for life, and I'm not afraid to admit that, I don't think you should be doing that, because that just creates turmoil in the locker room. I mean, we all got eyes. We can see what the problem is. We seeing that Tom Brady hasn't completed a good pass past 30 yards down the field. We can all tell that, but we don't need the finger pointing in the locker room. I mean, Tom Brady has never been a guy. Again, as much as I like to bash and talk crap about Tom Brady has never been the guy that's called out anybody publicly, not a coach, not a player, not anybody on the staff. He's never done that. So I will always give him credit for that. But also, too, you got to look at, you knew what you was getting when he got there. You knew what type of player Tom Brady was. And they got all these people who do the statistics and analyze and, you know, analytics and do everything like that in-house. And you saw that Tom Brady is not a great passer the last 5 to 7 years over 25 yards. You know that. So if you get down there and you don't have a system in place for a guy that's not accurate over, you know, 30 yards, why would you bring him in? So they created the problem. They had opportunities. I mean, they had opportunities to go get multiple players during the offseason and didn't. You know, you had an opportunity to go get Cam Newton. You had an opportunity to get I think Jameis was there, and I'm not saying that either one of these guys is better than Tom. I'm just saying that if you have a system where that requires you to throw the ball down the field and make big plays, go get that guy. Don't be mad at Tom because he's not accurate over 20 yards. You created that problem.
Sean, what also Tom Brady in that game where they lost to the Rams walked off the field, didn't shake Jared Goff's hand, and I get it. Tom has won a lot, 6 Super Bowls. A lot of people have crowned the guy. I just think it's classless because he's done it before. When he beat Jared Goff in the Super Bowl, of course he was there to shake his hand, but he walked out on Nick Foles during the Super Bowl when Nick Foles played an unbelievable game and won Super Bowl MVP. And earlier this year when Nick Foles beat him again, Tom Brady was a no-show, you know, to shake his hand. What do you make of that? And isn't that a bad look for a guy of his stature?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I got a theory, and I don't know him right, but I've been saying this. Now, I always thought that he had something against Nick Foles. I don't know what that something is or what Nick Foles said or did.
Yeah.
I thought he had something personally against Nick Foles. But I felt he also ran off into the locker room again to – make it not about Nick Foles, because that's what we talked about for this past year. Okay, so that's what we all.
So let me. Can we? Let's just flesh this out here.
Yeah, okay,
Sean Merriman, join us. Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb. We all just for radio world out there. We all know each other and generally like each other. So like, let's pretend this is like a little Zoom call. Sean, do you think he doesn't view Foles on his level? He's like, are you kidding me? This is the guy who wins the Super Bowl? Like, I know who Nick, like, and I mean, is that possibly it? I mean, what I'm trying to get into his mind of what he could have against Nick Foles, who's by all accounts seen as a really good dude. Like, I know Nick a little bit. He lives near me in the offseason. I played hoop with him. He seems like a guy that everybody likes. He's a very religious guy, but warm and friendly. Doesn't seem to be a phony.
And Doug, he had an unbelievable Super Bowl game.
Right. He had an unbelievable Super Bowl. But like, do you think he's sitting there going like, wait, we didn't play Malcolm Butler. This guy is not that good. And he has this unbelievable, he wins a Super Bowl. And if you remember that Super Bowl, the Patriots actually never punted in it. Brady turned it over to really end the game. He misread the defense and got hit. But they missed a field goal. They missed an extra point, whatever. My only thing I can think of is maybe he thinks, here's a guy who won a Super Bowl against me and he's not on my level. Do you have any hypotheses as what it could possibly be?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. Because you got to understand that after Nick Foles won that game, I mean, people were talking about him like he was the best thing since sliced bread. Right, I mean, we all put Nick Foles on a pedestal that he shouldn't have never been. He just played the perfect game. They ran perfect play calling. I mean, they caught these guys off guard and the Patriots on their heels the entire time. It was a perfectly called game. And after that game, everybody wanted to crown Nick Foles as some great quarterback, which he was nowhere close to being. Now, you know, Tom Brady, looking at it from his standpoint, I would be pissed too, but not pissed enough to go and just shake the man's hand. So when that happened, I just feel like it was something a little bit more personal, maybe something Nick Foles said or did. And like you said, I've seen him, you know, he's had great religious rants right after the game. I can tell what kind of guy he is, but you know, there has to be something else there in order for him to do that, because it can't be because you just won one game against them. It has to be something more. And in my, I just have this strange feeling that it was always about Nick Foles, always about Nick Foles. And now Tom Brady has to run off the field to someone else to take it, not about Nick Foles. I just don't believe that Tom Brady, with the spotlight on him and him knowing that the backlash he's going to get by not shaking another guy's hand, will continuously do it. So I just have to feel that he has to do something to mix it up.
And Sean, there's no way Tom, the people say, the minions who will support Tom Brady, oh, well, he's just frustrated, he didn't play well, and he's just mad. My point is, if they lose to the Kansas City Chiefs and Tom Brady doesn't play well, do you think he'll run off the field and not shake Patrick Mahomes' hand?
No.
No way.
No, not at all.
Wait.
No, not at all.
Rob, you can't give me a no way, no how? I mean, it's like 6:30 in the
no
morning.
Way, no way, no how on this Thanksgiving Day morning. All right.
Well, I'm waiting for that.
Look, he's gone up to Drew Brees. He's gone up to other great quarterbacks. He's gone up to some guys who are not great quarterbacks. I just think that Tom has a certain level of respect for certain guys. And it's not anything you know, he's not like a sore loser. I just believe that he picks and chooses who he show respect to. And if that was anybody else other than Tom Brady, we would be slamming him all over the place. But, you know, his supporters and people who just love him to death will support him no matter what. But it's at the end of the day, it's not right.
You know, there's something I want to ask you about. Sean Merriman, our guest, Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan and the Danettes. One of the things lost in that game is the Rams appear to be really good, right? And what the Rams did to the Buccaneers is kind of similar to what the Giants did to the Patriots in the Super Bowl both times, which is the ability to get to Tom Brady without blitzing, right? And by the way, this is what the Rams did to the Seahawks, is they could get to Russell Wilson without blitzing. And a lot of this comes down to Aaron Donald and his dominance, which attracts a double team and sometimes even more. Look, you were great at what you did, Sean. You came off the edge. You weren't the interior pass rusher, but you weren't able to sustain it for nearly as long because of injury. I'm just wondering, from a guy who's been down in those trenches, who does Aaron Donald compare to? Because he's unbelievably dominant at a position that we don't normally recognize as such.
You can't compare him to anybody because we haven't seen anything like this. And I played with some great D tackles. You know, I played with a guy by the name of Jamal Williams, who's more of a big guy who took up two blockers in the 3-4 scheme. And then I went to Buffalo and played with Cal Williams. And Cal Williams, I mean, look, if Buffalo had a, winning years and they had more TV games, we would put Cal Williams up there, some of the greatest D tackles of all time. But he's not talked about enough because they didn't get to shine. So, and I just, and he's, you know, he's a Pro Bowl player, but he would have won multiple Pro Bowls if Buffalo had more visual and things like that, had more TV games. There, we haven't seen anything like Aaron Donald before because this guy is doing this. People don't understand, being an outside linebacker to have, you know, double-digit sacks every year if you're really good, you know, that seems about right. You have doing what he's doing for the interior and knowing that you're coming into the game and he's going to get double and triple teamed, and the way he gets so creative to get skinny between that guard and that center, to turn his hips and explode through guys and play mind games and run stunts and go and hit an opposite guard on the other side that's not looking, just so you can blow another guy up and get there still. It's just he's gotten so creative and so dangerous that he, like Lawrence Taylor did long time ago, and the way people block him and how he, you know, the reason why the short pass game and quick game was created was because of Lawrence Taylor. And what's happening, what we're seeing right now with Aaron Donald, they're about to change the game. They're going to start having to do something that they've never done in the history of football in order to block him.
Sean, today is, of course, Thanksgiving, and one of the traditions in the NFL is that the Detroit Lions play. Doug and I are going to talk about this later on in the show. But and this has been going on. The Lions first played a Thanksgiving Day game back in 1934, so it's longstanding. I covered 20 years of those games. But is it time for the Lions to be off and maybe somebody else? Should we end this tradition of the Lions being our Thanksgiving Day pregame because – pre-meal game that we've watched all these years?
They have to. You know, they have to. Look, I stopped watching the Lions of Thanksgiving when Barry Sanders retired, you know, like,
right.
You know, and I love watching Megatron and Matthew Stafford and things like that. They've been excited, but I just like, man, what did they sign, a 55-year deal? I just don't know and understand how the games aren't more competitive, because as we all know, people watch the games for stars, right? I mean, the NFL has kind of turned into the NBA as far as the stardom and being able to watch a Patrick Mahomes and being able to watch, you know, big-time quarterbacks and running backs and playmakers. I mean, that's what the NFL is now. So when that's the case, you have to have them on one of the most important parts of the year and make it enjoyable for these, especially these tough times we're going through. We need to see some stars and some excitement. I just don't think that enough people are going to be sitting in front of the TV to watch the Lions.
Sean Merriman joining us. You got the Lights Out podcast. What's on the latest Lights Out podcast?
Yeah, we just had Tyron Woodley, man. We as you guys
incredible.
Know, Rob, we talked about it.
Yeah,
you know, I'm heavy into the MMA. I got my Lights Out Extreme fight in my MMA league, which should be getting back up here as soon as our governor gets his stuff together in California. So I had Tyron Woodley on. We just talked about his last fights, man, and him wanting to fight everybody he lost again. So I'm interested. I can't wait to see what's going to happen here when we get back up and going again.
Yeah. You going to buy Tyson and Roy Jones?
No way, no how. I know you're not going to buy that, Sean. Please.
I am because, you know, look, and I always said this, right? I don't care how old Mike Tyson is. He always going to have one punch that's going to be able to knock you out, and that I'll pay for. So, you know, and then also, you know, I don't know if you guys are into it, but Jake Paul is also fighting Nate Robinson, I think, on that card. And I got a chance to train with Jake Paul train with DJ.
Okay, does he have any chance?
Jake Paul's going to probably knock Nate Robinson out somewhere in the late first, early second.
Really?
More than likely.
Nate was known in NBA circles as a dude who you didn't want to mess with. Now, part of it is little guys have nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Right? Like, nothing to lose. But Nate was the guy who could flip the switch on you. But you really think Jake Paul's really going to get him?
After Jake Paul wins, I mean, we've been pushing him to go pro. I think he should turn to be a pro boxer. He's that good. I think he has a shot. He has a former pro trainer, and I've watched him over this last 2 years in personal workouts and sparring matches against some of the pros. I think he should go pro after this fight.
Wow.
Sean
Merriman.
If you could fight anybody in the media, who would you fight? No, I'm just kidding.
there's several.
I thought so. Okay.
We're having connection issues. We're having connection issues with Sean Merriman.
It would have been them talking crap with me when I was playing. I'm good with everybody now, but back when I was playing, I got a couple people I would love to lay out.
All right. Hey, Sean, happy Thanksgiving, man. Thanks for joining
us. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
All right. Sean Merriman joining us.
That was fun.
All right, I want to continue with this Brady conversation for a second. We'll do so next with Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes. We'll continue this conversation about Tom Brady at the top of the hour. Is Tom Brady cooked? Is he washed? Is he done, finished? We'll get to that. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to yours. You know, the NBA draft has like come and gone. And look, one of the things that I love about the sport that I played and the level that I played at was I do feel like I understood and got as much out of it as you possibly could, which is, you know, like college basketball, and I think people get it, but I don't think they really get it. The amount of promotion and attention that's created is invaluable. It just is. And the best way to show that is how many of those players that were drafted in the NBA draft did you have any idea about? Right? You just didn't. LaMelo Ball played last season professionally for about half the season in Australia, and you might have seen parts of highlights, one game or whatever, whereas if there was an NCAA tournament, you would have seen every one of the college kids plays. And I mean, look how big Zion Williamson became because he brought as a YouTube sensation to Duke. But it's going to be really fascinating to see. You have this entire draft class that nobody knows anything about. It wasn't seen as an elite draft class. And Rob, I know you're fascinated by the LaMelo Ball pick.
I am, only because of, he's going to Charlotte and Michael Jordan, his history of picking players. Adam Morrison was supposed to be the next Larry Bird because he had an ugly mustache or whatever it was. I think that's what people equated him to being Larry Bird, and of course that didn't work out. Kwame Brown was another pick of Michael Jordan's, and now LaMelo Ball. I just don't know. I saw him play one time, Doug, live in person, and it was just the most ridiculous.
When was that?
This was a couple years ago. Him and his brother, they played in, I don't know if it was a playoff game, and this was, you know, Lonzo wasn't there. Lonzo was in college.
When they played modern day?
I think it was at a big game. It was a lot of people. It was like a couple of years ago. I just can't remember the venue. But anyway.
And they lost?
They lost.
Yeah, it was modern day.
Okay. And you know what I'm talking about. And he was just chucking up shots from mid-court.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Three-quarter court. I just thought to myself, I was watching in disbelief. I really was. It was so undisciplined. You know, he was just doing what he wanted. And I thought, wow. I couldn't believe that was like, a real game, and there's a coach there.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I really, really do. It's one of the things I liked about him going and playing in Australia is that they got him away from that style where you actually had to play real basketball. The problem with that is that the good part is you play against men. He had some success. He had some failure. Shot 25% from three, 35% from the field. But, you know, that prepares you for the NBA as well, or even maybe better than playing college basketball. And it takes him away from, you know, his dad, who I actually think, in terms of basketball training, has the best intentions at heart. Like, they took wild shots when they played for him. I saw him play when he was 13, but they all love passing the basketball, especially Lonzo and LaMelo love passing the basketball. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It did train him on how to play real basketball. The problem is that he didn't actually play any defense. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well.
And Doug, what about the competition that he's played against? What was it? I know these guys are older and quote unquote men compared to him.
Yeah.
But what about the talent level? Can we really evaluate a guy who's played against maybe some inferior talent?
Yeah, You can. I don't mind playing against. It's, you know, Australia is better, but it's not a top five, maybe even top 10 league internationally at the top. There are some great all-time Australian players, the Andrew Bogut, who go back and play some.
Andrew Gaze.
Yeah. So I would say this. Look, I would struggle to have him. It all depends upon his level of buy-in. Because now his brother did change his body. His brother was always a little bit more bouncy than LaMelo was, or LaMelo was always long. But his brother really worked in the weight room. The biggest issue with his brother is two things. One, he was always hurt. He's always been hurt in the offseason. And two, you got to question his work ethic, right? So here's what I mean in terms of work ethic. So he goes to the Lakers, and he gets hurt in summer league. So and now there's no offseason at all. So the first year was kind of a wash because then he got hurt during the season, if you remember, and he had knee surgery. They couldn't get him on the court, so he couldn't really fix his jump shot during that first year off. The second year, he was hurt again, and so he didn't have an offseason of work. That when he got traded, he did work. His jump shot on some level did improve, and then he got in the NBA season. It wasn't great, but then they had the shut. They had the shutdown. And he looked awful in the bubble. Awful.
Uninterested as well, Doug, which was like he didn't look like he was into it. And remember, the league wanted the Pelicans to make the playoffs.
It was one of the reasons they expanded the teams that were going. They wanted Zion there, which to me displays that he didn't work during quarantine. And guys like Jamal Murray clearly did work. The idea that you couldn't get into a gym if you're an NBA player, to me, is bull, especially in California. So, you know, my first question with LaMelo is work ethic, because in this NBA, you got to be able to shoot the ball. What he has is great positional size, great vision, and you can't teach vision, and you can't teach positional size. The rest of the stuff, I don't think he's tough. I don't think he's a particularly good shooter. And not being tough is that you lack a competitive gene in terms of, you know, in the NBA, you're going to play point guard. Like, dudes are going to come at you every single night. Like, if he had what his teammate Devontae Graham has in terms of toughness and competitiveness at both ends, I would say he's going to be great. But I haven't seen that. Like, if you watch the tapes of him playing in Australia, he didn't care on defense at all. And you better care, because even in the East, you got Kyrie Irving. He's a killer. You got Trae Young. He's a killer. You know, you're going to get, when you're a point guard, you're going to switch on the matchups with Jimmy Butler. He's a killer. And you carry the ball name. They're coming after you. So that's my biggest concern.
Is there any chance that Jordan's right on this one and he becomes a star, like a star player in this league?
Yes.
I don't know.
Not a superstar,
but a star. I'm just talking about a star player.
He can really pass, and he's really big, and he has really good feel. You know, the game is slow to him. Like, he sees it all. I don't know if he has. You got to be able to get into the lane, and you can only do that if you can really shoot, or if you have a great first step. And even then, you need to shoot. And he doesn't have a great first step, and he can't really shoot. So those are the things that he's going to have to do at the offensive end. And then to be a star, you got to be able to defend. I know Trae Young doesn't defend, but he's so good on offense. But they can't win because he's so bad defensively. So those are the things that are in front of him.
And real quick, about LeVar and messing with Michael Jordan and Charlotte being off the radar, NBA radar for the most part, will that be a good thing that LeVar, yeah?
I think so. I mean, do I know? So I think having Gordon Hayward there will really help. I think the reason they overpaid Gordon Hayward is because Gordon Hayward is known as a great workout, as a complete and total professional in terms of his workouts. And if he says, I'm just going to follow around Gordon Hayward and do what he does in the offseason, I think he's got a much better chance than he does if he follows around his dad and his brothers in the offseason. Is Tom Brady washed? Is he cooked? Is he finished? Is he done? Rob Parker thinks so. I'll tell you what I think next. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. or stream us live on the Peacock app.